Let's begin by turning in our Bibles, and then I'll pray, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Many of you have read this text and these collection of scriptures before, and you may have your view and your point and your own opinion and mine about what they mean, but the emphasis on the verses today is that if you're called, if you're chosen, if God has commissioned you to share Jesus and his love and that wonderful gospel and that the message of those three angels, and you're having a dark experience or tempted to be in darkness, the Lord is calling you out. Now, the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." There's a reason why he says that. And then he says, "For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness?" Can it really work? Is what he's asking. "And what communion hath light and darkness?" Have you seen light and darkness coexisting? Doesn't work. "And what concord," that means agreement too, "hath Christ with Belial," paganism, idols, worldliness? "Or what part hath he that believe with one who says, I don't believe?" Can two walk together? Amos 3:3. "Except they are agreed, I wonder. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Say living God. "As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate," saith the Lord, not the church, not a denomination. "Touch not the unclean." And the Lord says, "I'm going to receive you. I'm going to come into your life and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Father, we thank you. This is not easy. In these days, but the Spirit is powerful. And so we depend on you, Lord, to touch hearts and to speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that the spoken and the preached word today will not be with enticing words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, and that our faith will not stand on the wisdom of a man, but in the power of God. Speak not only through me, Lord, but speak to me. And when all is said and done, we'll be very careful to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We say this in Jesus' name. Let everyone say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me begin right off the top, because I don't have long. When we are in the dark, and especially if it's completely dark, we cannot see at all. Let that sink in for a minute. If it's completely dark, we cannot see at all. When we're in the dark, if we are able to see just a little, it's only because of the presence of light. Can I get a witness? When we're in the dark, my brother, my sister, we must depend on other senses to get around or to become familiar with our environment. If you can't see and it's dark, you got to depend on sound, smell, feelings, touch. When we're in the dark, we feel helpless. When we're in the dark, there's fear, there's anxiety. When we are in the dark, there is sometimes doubt and worry. person's in the dark or a dark situation, there's sometimes a sense of hopelessness. When we are in the dark, there is a possibility to stumble, to fall. Is that right? When we're in the dark, we feel trapped. We feel encaged. When we're in the dark, we know that our soul silently cries out in anticipation to hear a voice. Some years ago, there was an earthquake in Italy, and I'll never forget, there was a 10-year-old girl who was under the debris of a building, deep, and she was rescued from that dark and scary and life-threatening concrete hole. I know she was glad to hear a voice from outside. She knew that voice meant life. She knew that voice meant deliverance. She knew that voice meant hope. Well, why? There are ways in which people, I have to remind you that people experience darkness. First of all, if you are here today and you are going through a dark situation, whatever it may be, you know that you are not content. You know that you are not at ease in your life. If there's a dark situation, it affects you in a very unique way. You know that you have days, if you're going through a dark situation or you're in the dark, there are days and nights where the darkness, or I would say that dark experience, come on, say amen, or that dark feeling, it may plague your thoughts and even your thinking. If you're going through something that's dark, you know that sometimes you may smile, you may appear to be okay, but inside you feel lonely. You feel helpless. You feel sorrowful. You feel at your wit's end. And if you're in a dark situation today, you know that no one else can ultimately help, comfort, or save you from it. You need Jesus. If you are experiencing darkness, you know exactly how it feels. And if you are experiencing darkness, God knows exactly what he needs to do and what needs to happen in order for you to be free. And that's why he may be calling somebody out of darkness today. And you may be right in the sanctuary. You know, darkness is so real to mankind that we have all kinds of phrases and I would even say euphemisms and word symbols to explain the reality of what it means to be in the dark. We say things like dark secrets, right? We say things like, that's a dark continent. I still don't know what that means, but we've said that. That's a dark continent over there. We talk about the darkest day in history. So we say all kinds of things to try to understand darkness. Years ago in many of our conferences when we would think about missionary endeavors and efforts, we would say that we want to send some members or some missionaries or some worker into a dark county. We talk about dark memories. Now, you know, there are basic ways that I want to share with you that we can experience darkness. What are some of the basic ways we can experience darkness? One of those ways is in our emotional, we can experience emotional and mental darkness. Right? Is that true? We can experience physical darkness. That emotional darkness could be depression or despair or even loneliness, disappointment, but it's dark confusion. When we talk about physical darkness, we're talking about sickness probably or pain or problems, you know, when it comes to the physical body, physical violence. But physical darkness is one way we experience darkness. We also know that we can experience darkness through relationships, relational darkness, you know, betrayal. When we are betrayed by a good friend who we assume to be, that's dark. That's a dark experience. Come on, say amen. You know, family problems, marital difficulties, even jealousy and abuse and unsolved issues in our relationships with others can be relational darkness. That's a way. But also there is this personal inner darkness that we can experience sometime. Would you not agree? Right? What about insecurities? You know, even in the church, there are many individuals insecure. And so they have problems with those who may seem to be secure. Insecurities, low self-esteem. We've talked about that a lot. Low self-image, confidence, even bitterness and prolonged anger. Some people are angry all the time. That's a dark experience. Lack of forgiveness, bad attitudes. Personal inner darkness is another way we can experience darkness. Then, of course, there is spiritual darkness, feeling that we are lost, amen, misunderstanding what salvation really is. Today in Sabbath school, we were talking about, do we really understand the ministry of the sanctuary? Do we really understand that when Jesus died for us, that was a showing of God's supreme sacrifice in love for us? Some people don't understand that. Seduced by doctrines of devils, that's darkness. Spiritualism, the occultism and mysticism, even fanaticism is darkness. So we can have what we would call spiritual darkness. But thank God today, hallelujah, if you and I are experiencing any kind of darkness in these categories today, Jesus is calling us out. But we've got to answer the call. Now, why does God keep calling us out of darkness? You know, most of us here today have known someone, or we've known some situation or somebody, some experience somewhere, somehow, who is in a dark situation. Come on, say amen. And we've tried to help that individual. We've tried to speak to them. Come on, say amen. We've tried to guide them, or even we've made sacrifices just to help them get out or come out of darkness. But the question is, if you and I, who are weak and are sinful and are hypocritical, we are insensitive, indifferent at times, we are uncaring, and sometimes we are even loveless as human beings, if we can desire individuals to come out of a dark situation, would not a loving, merciful God, amen, a compassionate, empathetic, powerful, almighty God want even more for you and I? And that's why the Lord calls us out. Here are some reasons, I believe, why God, in his word, he says that he wants us to come out of darkness. One of the reasons the Lord calls us out of darkness is God knows as long as we are in darkness, we will never know where we're going. Come on, say amen. The Bible is very clear in the book of John, chapter 12. John, chapter 12, verse 35, the Bible says that yet, Jesus said this now. He said, yet a little while is the light with you. Is that right? So he says, Jesus says, walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. So the Lord is calling us out if we're in darkness, if we're in confusion, if we're in a dark situation, if we're in a dark relationship. He's calling us out because as long as we are in darkness, we don't know where we're going. We need to be freed, amen? But not only that, the Lord also calls us out, brothers and sisters. The Lord also calls us out, number two, Because God knows if we stay in darkness too long, you know what will happen? We will become content with it. I'm amazed at how some of God's people defend darkness, defend worldliness. The Bible is very clear. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, in John chapter 3 in particular, John chapter 3 verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and the Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Some love the devil's traditions rather than the law of God. Some love the things of this world more than they do what God gives them in the church. Amen. So that's why the Lord says you've got to come out. Because if you stay in darkness, in a dark relationship, in a dark situation too long, you'll begin to think it's okay. You'll begin to think you're okay. It's all right. So what does God do? Because he has chosen you and called you and commissioned you, he says, come out and be separate. Don't stay there. It's not good. You're going to become content. You'll begin to defend it. You'll begin to get to the point where you would die for darkness. Sacrifice your life, your children, your husband, your wife for darkness. So you got to come out. Come on, say praise God. You got to come out. Why does the Lord call us out? Number three, here's another reason. Number three, God knows darkness is so powerful. Lord have mercy. And it really is. The only way we can come out is through deliverance. You and I can't come out of a dark addiction on our own. It'll never happen. Never happen. The Bible's clear. In the book of Colossians, what book did I say? The book of Colossians, chapter 1. The Bible is clear. Colossians, chapter 1. In particular, verse 13. Colossians 1, verse 13, the Bible says the Lord has delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. So we've got to be delivered not from darkness only, but from its power. And he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. And then the word of God says in verse 21 of Colossians 1, and you that were sometimes alienated, you that were sometimes enemies. Do I get a witness here today? I know at one time I was alienated from Christ. I was an enemy of Christ in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That's what Jesus does. So the Lord calls us out because he knows darkness is so powerful. The only way we can come out is through a divine deliverance. So if you were here today and you're in a dark situation, amen, you're not going to come out on your own. No, it's not going to work. If you have a dark habit, if you have a dark environment that you keep going to and finding yourself there, you can't stop or break that habit on your own. You need divine power. Amen. Thank God the Lord is calling us out. But there's another reason why the Lord is calling us out. Number four. And that is, God knows that darkness and light cannot coexist. Amen. Can't coexist. There's the second, 2 Corinthians. What book did I say? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And a matter of fact, we read that, and I'm just going to go ahead and pick out a few one verse from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and the Bible says, in particular, verse 14, that we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers and so on and so on. But then it says, what communion hath light with darkness? In the verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, my people, be separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Light and darkness cannot exist at the same time. It is either light in this building, come on, say amen, or it's dark. It's either light in your house, amen, or it's dark. It's either light in your heart and my heart, or it's dark. Light and darkness cannot coexist. And we know that is true. Why? Because the Bible says so. And then one more reason I feel the Lord is calling me, calling you out of a dark situation. God knows when we are in darkness, the power of Satan has a grip on our lives. So that's why he's saying to you and I today, come out. Be separate. It's not going to work. Amen. The Bible is very clear in the book of Acts, chapter 26. In the book of Acts, the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 16. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. Bible says in Acts 26, Jesus is speaking here. And he says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee, Lord's talking to, of course, Paul when he called him, a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from what? Darkness to light. Thank God for the power of ministry. And then from the power of Satan unto, thank God, God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in, thank God, me. Now, so whether you are experiencing emotional darkness today, whether you are experiencing, my brother, my sister, physical darkness, mental, personal, spiritual, the reason why you hear the voice of God is he wants you to come out. This Thursday, we were talking in the National Day of Prayer session right here in the church with the little group of prayer warriors that was praying, and we were talking about the importance of all of us having a time to pray to the Lord every day. If we don't have a prayer life, a personal prayer life, we're done. Amen? Can I get a witness? I mean, we got to have some time during the day where we pray, have devotion, and worship our God privately. And we were saying, if you and I do not have a time of prayer, you know, Satan, we're talking about how Satan holds a grip on us, the enemy will encircle our life with darkness. If we don't have a time that we pray and worship God every day, his temptations will be intensified. And we'll have no power to resist. That's why we got to pray, you see. And so we thank God for that. Now, how does God call us out? Preacher, it's good to know what darkness is. It's good to know the reason why God calls us out of darkness. But can you tell me today, Pastor T, how does God call us out of darkness and how can I come out? Well, this is going to help somebody today. Come on, say amen. Brothers and sisters, to come out of darkness is a combination of what God does for us. Thank you, Jesus. And it's a combination of what we do on our own. So some of us cannot come out because the Lord's calling and the Lord is trying and the Lord is moving, but there are decisions we won't make. It's a combination. In other words, God will always do his part, but we have to do ours, amen? God has been calling, crying, pleading, begging for some of us for years to come out, but some of us won't move. The angels of heaven have been working overtime with some of us to keep the forces of evil from reaping havoc in our lives. Just to give us a chance to come out. But too many of us who God is calling, we love darkness. We give excuses for darkness. Lord, help us. We play with darkness. We have gotten used to darkness. Too many of us who God is calling, come out. I want to give you peace. I want to give you freedom. I want you to feel secure and protected. But we don't think darkness will eventually destroy our lives. Too many of us who God is calling out are tired of teachers and preachers and individuals talking about darkness and talking about worldliness. I'm always amazed when preachers and teachers talk about the world, people get mad in church. Why would a child of God get upset when his messenger tells them or him that the world is dangerous? The world is Satan's kingdom. Amen. The world is not a friend of God. And if we are of the world, we are not a friend of God. Why would a child of God in the church get angry? You know why? Because men love darkness rather than light. Some people, even in the church, even preachers, love darkness more than they love Jesus. Some of us have been in darkness so long, we can hardly see a distinction between darkness and light. And that's why false doctrines are so dangerous. If you stay in it too long, you won't be able to tell the difference. And we are told through the spirit of prophecy that in the end time, the line of demarcation between the world and the church will be hardly distinguishable. How does the Lord tell us to come out? Let me finish with this. How exactly does God call us out of darkness? Well, first of all, God Almighty, he will have to intervene on our behalf. Can I get a witness? Somebody here today, one day you were in darkness, amen? You were in a dark situation. You were experiencing darkness in your life. And God Almighty, hallelujah, he intervened. He came in and did what God does. And that's why we don't give up on people, amen? Instead of criticizing and talking about folks, pray for them. Pray for their deliverance. And the Lord does this in two ways. First of all, and I'm not going to go to these texts, I know my time is gone, amen. He shines light into our dark situation. Hallelujah for the light. So whatever situation you're in right now, whatever it may be that's dark, it may be an experience that's emotional, mental, physical, whatever it is, I want to tell you, the Lord is going to shine light in your situation to show you how to come out of that dark situation, no matter what it is. And then, hallelujah, when our eyes are opened, amen, he then calls us out of darkness. That's what he does. Now, there is a text, and I got to read this text, and it's found in 1 Peter. What book did I say? 1 Peter, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, and this is wonderful. We're familiar with this, and I'll just read it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation." Do you believe you're chosen? Do you believe that God has chosen you? Do you remember the day that the Lord touched your heart and did something special to you and you were never the same again? Well, the Bible says that ye are a chosen generation. You are royal, amen. Priesthood. You are an holy nation. Amen. You are a particular, peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird. It means unique. Amen. It means special. Amen. That you should show forth like we do here on Sabbath. Amen. The praises of him. Why do we do that? Because he has called us, amen, out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm amazed at the level of criticism now that we hear from believers against the church. I'm amazed at the amount of dissatisfaction that many of us who are in the light have against the teachings of the church. It's as if we don't like truth anymore. We're embarrassed about the truth. We're ashamed of our uniqueness as Christians. Unbelievable. Lord have mercy. Which in time past, you are not people, verse 10. But now you are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Lord have mercy. So God may be calling us today to change a destructive eating habit. You know what that is? That's nothing but shining light. God may be calling someone here today to come out of an immoral relationship. You know what that is? It's shining light. That prompting to come out of that, to leave it alone, is shining light. God may be calling us today to repair a relationship between parents and children. You know what that is? It's shining light. He may be calling us to stop a subscription to a certain magazine. Shining light. Maybe calling us to burn a DVD or burn some CDs or turn off some internet website. Shining light. That's all that is. He may be calling someone here today to simply just go to the person you've done wrong and say, I'm sorry. Shining light. Whatever that call is, it is light shining in darkness. Now, you know, that's good because light is very powerful. Light is the only thing that can penetrate darkness. And from what we understand, it does this literally at 186,000 miles per second. Woo! 186,000 miles per second. Light is powerful. When light hits something, it will either be absorbed or reflected, but it cannot be destroyed. And that's why your children, who you grew, you raised in the truth, you raised in the light, they will not forget it. Don't you worry. That light is still shining. Because light can't be destroyed. Light is powerful. Light is the exact opposite of darkness. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same place at the same time. And that's why we can't bring the world into the church. Because when the world comes in, the light goes out. They can't coexist. Come on, say amen. One's got to overtake the other. If we invite the world into our homes, the world into our lives, one is taking over. One is going to dominate. Light is powerful. Light is energy. Light is power. You've heard of photosynthesis, right? Synthesis meaning to put together or to combine. Photo meaning to retain a vivid impression of light. It's energy, it's power. And that's why when those vegetables and greens, come on, say amen. Suck up the sun, come on, say amen. And then you eat the greens, come on, say amen. The collard greens, the callaloo, whatever it is, the broccoli, you feel energized. Because light cannot be destroyed, amen. So if God is shining light of his word into your life, it is because he's calling you out. So the Lord has to intervene. And then finally, not only must the Lord intervene in our behalf, but we must do our part. Now, here's where the problem is, because many of us, we don't want to do our part. Amen? We must do our part. And what can I do, preacher? Well, one thing that we can do, which is very important, we have to pledge to become darkness extinguishers. We're talking about a call to come out, right? We've got to be darkness extinguishers. Isn't it wonderful that according to God's word, you and I can assist God? Thank you, Lord, who has shined light into our darkness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. By simply proactively extinguishing darkness from our lives. Well, what can I do? How do I become a darkness extinguisher preacher? Well, first of all, according to Ephesians 5:8, remember, number one, what darkness did to you. Remember. Ephesians, I've got to read that. Ephesians chapter 5, let me read that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, very clear. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Verse 8, you're familiar with the text, but I've got to read it because there's power in the word and not power in the preacher. Come on, say amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says in Ephesians 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes in darkness, amen, but now are ye light in the Lord. So what do? Walk, amen, behave, amen, conduct yourself, amen, think, amen, as children who are in the light. Spiritual soberness is important, amen. So not only should we remember what darkness did to you, if you want to be a darkness extinguisher, but the next thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure, come on, say amen, if you are no longer in darkness, don't sleep like it's nighttime. I like this text, and it's found in the book of Thessalonians, and I want to read this, Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, ye are all children of light. Thank you, Jesus. And children of the day also. Hallelujah. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. And now's not a time to sleep, amen. I'm not just talking about this worship service, which that's true too. Now's not the time to sleep. But we're talking about in the realm of the age in which we're living in and what's going on. We should not sleep. Let us not sleep as others do, Paul says, but let us watch. And we must make sure that when it comes to spiritual things, that we are not drunken, but that we are sober. Spiritual soberness means to be alert to the company you keep. And that includes family members and church members and co-workers and classmates. And so you got to be alert. It means to guard the avenues of your soul. There's some things we can't see. There's some things we shouldn't hear. Some things we shouldn't touch. Amen. Some places our feet shouldn't walk to. It means to get to this church when the doors are open as many times as you can. Without an excuse. It means to keep the lamp of light burning through daily Bible study and prayer. Be sober. Don't sleep. Not now. Too much going on in the world. They're crying peace and safety. Nations are coming together that never came together before. Hated each other. And in one day, individuals come and shake hands and smile and all this. And we don't know what's going to happen next. But we do know, as we see this umbrella of peace and things are getting better and we're going to work it out, something's going to explode. And it's like that even in our personal lives. When we act as if things are okay in our family, yet we have undercurrent issues, one day it explodes. Something comes out. Amen. What else should I do, preacher? Well, not only must I make sure that I don't sleep as if it's nighttime, but when you and I are in the light, never take light for granted. Walk while you have light, for night comes. A dark day is coming. A darker day is coming. And then finally, on every occasion, and I know this is difficult for a lot of individuals, but it's a challenge. It's something that we have to do because we're God's children. The Lord calls us to do it. And that is, on every occasion, speak out against darkness. That's not popular. That's not what the devil says. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But then the Bible says, Paul says, but rather reprove them. And it's always done in love, amen. It's always done in concern. And there are three things to keep in mind about speaking out against darkness. Never let darkness, dark people, or those practicing darkness think or feel that you are in support of their deeds. Number two, be Make sure that you are not a friend of darkness, but you're a friend of Jesus, who is the light. Good way to speak out against it. And then finally, if you and I let darkness back into our lives, even for one moment, guess what? Darkness comes back with a vengeance. It's like a dog returning to his vomit. When we are free, when we are delivered, when we are saved, when we are cleansed and sanctified, to go back into darkness, even for a moment, the latter end is worse than the first. The point is, as we end here today, even though we are in a dark world, God is still calling people out. Amen. Even though we are in a dark world, God is still choosing people. Even though we're in a dark world, God Almighty is still commissioning us to come out of this church, amen, and to tell somebody that Jesus saves. Father in heaven, we bow our heads, and we thank you so much for the privilege that you have given us today to hear your voice and to know that you're calling us out of darkness. I'm praying for someone here today, because I know anytime we gather like this, we assemble to worship, there are individuals who are struggling, going through something. And that's why, as preachers, as elders, as teachers, when we stand up, we should take this thing seriously, because we have no idea what someone is facing right now. And so I pray, Lord, that that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, that young person who may be in a dark situation right now, please, Jesus, call. Keep calling. Make sure that they understand that they've got to come out. Make light clear to them, whatever it may be. And help them to understand that when you call, then we must do our part. We've got to move. We've got to make a choice. And the more we make a choice to come out, the more power we have through Jesus Christ to be delivered from darkness. We thank you for your blessing, Jesus. We thank you for your love. And if there's someone here today and you have been touched and God is calling you out, we encourage you, make a decision today for Jesus. Don't leave this place without getting in touch with the pastor or the elders or one of the ushers. Give us your name. Give us your number. Give us your email so we can pray for you as you make a decision to accept him. If you want to be a part of God's church and you've decided today, I need to join, I need to become a part of those individuals in these last days who have decided to follow all that Jesus taught and lived, you can make that decision today. Just contact us after this worship. Give us your name, give us your email address or whatever, and we're going to pray that God will prepare you for that baptismal pool, prepare you for that great day when Jesus comes. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray, that all of God's children say, amen and amen.